Cinema Vino is brought to you by BarkBox. BarkBox is a great way to spoil your pet at an affordable price. Sign up, and every month you'll get a fresh box of treats and chew toys, all specifically matched to your dog's size, weight, and health. Go to www.barkbox.com/cinemavino to get 1 month of free goodies on a multi-length plan. That's $35 worth of presents for your pup just for signing up at www.barkbox.com/cinemavino. And welcome back, Cinema Vino.
Hey!
This is a special mini episode. We're going to talk about Batman Mask of the Phantasm as the voice of Batman for many episodes of the series and animated films. Kevin Conroy passed away November 10th, 2022, so very recently. So,
R.I.P.
Yeah. So he made a big impression on the role.
The voice of a generation.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about him. We are drinking another Christmas beer for this. This is the Office Party by Abita.
Also delicious.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I had a little sippy sip, but I didn't really
take your mouth on it.
And we can also talk about...
Okay, C.K. Lewis. It's
like, what? C.S. Lewis.
Oh, yeah. C.S. Lewis.
Who is Lewis C.K. It's the other way around.
And this is my third or fourth beer.
That's a whole different screw tape letters right there.
Oh, the great divorce.
Don't quote the deep magic to me, witch. I was there when it was written.
The Lion, the Witch, and... jacking off in front of the wardrobe.
Yeah.
God, I love
Lion the Witch and this fucking guy.
That is great that we can just embrace, you know, a mainly religious writer just into this. That's fun.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit, and Travis will have a lot to say about Mask of the Phantasm.
I haven't prepared any words.
And then you guys had the, you guys enjoyed the, what was it, pumpkin pie sour. From Prairie Brewing.
We took a little sip.
We had sips of it.
Did you like it? You like it more than I did.
It didn't pair with the stouts that we're drinking.
No.
Or the scotch.
A rough transition.
It was a sour beer with pumpkin pie finish. It was okay.
I think pumpkin pie, I think savory. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was expecting like the Shipyard pumpkin ale. I was
thinking a stout.
I'm so glad somebody said sour before I took the sip. Otherwise, I would have been like, oh my God, this beer went bad.
What beer is it that does the I'm white sure stout? Fine. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh shit.
Kill me now.
Damn it. There was one Buffalo something. It was a Casper white
Moostrel?
Stout.
Yeah, was it Moostrel?
No, but it was, I think you were right.
It was the Casper stout.
Casper.
And they don't make it anymore, correct? That was fucking delicious. Well, it was Buffalo Trace, but it was a Buffalo something.
Buffalo something. Buffalo Sweat.
Yeah.
Was it?
No, that was Tallgrass.
Tallgrass.
Yeah. Guys, we have phones.
I know, but when you poured that, I thought it was like a white stout. I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I tasted it. I was like, that is not a stout. Mm-hmm. Knowing it's a sour, I enjoy it a lot more.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm not a sour guy. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I would disagree with that statement.
Yeah.
You're very sour, man.
Like I would enjoy, I would Touché. Enjoy a sour if it was part of like a flight. I'd be like, oh, all right, I can enjoy this. But yeah, it's not my go-to.
You can't session a sour.
Yeah,
no.
I can't talk shit about a beer when I'm not a fan of that style of beer.
And that's a weird thing. Some people do make sessions out of. They're like sessionable sours.
Yeah.
Not my Barrel of Monkeys though.
Those people are just like sucking on Warheads on a road trip.
Yeah. Sour Patch Kids. Mike and Ike's. Are Mike and Ike's sour?
No. They can be. They have a version of sour.
A little tart. Right?
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
Either Mike or Ike.
Yeah.
So, Batman.
I like a hot tamale better.
Amen. Red Hots?
Yeah.
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 So, this came out in 1993. It was originally planned to be a direct VHS, but the Warner Brothers executives were so impressed with it, they decided to do a theatrical release.
Yeah, and the reason why I wanted us to do it, one, obviously, Kevin Conroy, but several people say whenever they're talking about Batman films or they're doing, like, top 10 lists, they're like, shit, and one of the best ones that's kind of unsung is Mask of the Phantasm because it did have a theatrical release.
Yeah.
And watching it, like, it just feels like a glorified episode. They definitely have better music. They, you know, paid for an entire chorus doing the beginning and ending credits. And then some of the, like, almost CGI or 3D Gotham animation at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But then once the episode starts, it's not any greater or better animation that I could tell anyway from the regular series.
Yeah.
Still good.
Well, I mean, it without watching the series, like, right before I watched this to compare, mm-hmm. you know, it's hard to say, but I feel like the quality was definitely a lot better.
Yeah. Well, I watched our other film that we were going to kind of bundle this with was Batman Beyond Return of the Joker. And just for shits and grins, I watched the beginning of that. That is so much better quality than this.
Yeah.
But having said that, sorry, Todd, keep going with your intro.
So this debuted Christmas Day, 1993.
Ooh, no. So it is a Christmas movie.
Yeah. Ho.
After Batman Returns, because Batman Returns was a 92. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Summertime 92, even though it was a Christmas movie. Yeah. And so this
Jerry Bruckheimer?
For this one?
No. Batman Returns.
It was Burton.
Tim Burton.
And no, I know, but did Bruckheimer produce it?
No, I don't think so.
It was the guy, Peters. I can't remember his first name, but he was depicted in Licorice Pizza like the crazy, another crazy coked out Hollywood producer.
I still haven't seen that. It's on Amazon. So long. Mm-hmm.
Played by Bradley Cooper in that one. I mean, he was like dating Barbara Streisand and just coked to the rafters.
Jeez.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's your mechanical spiders in the third act guy.
Jeez.
That's him. So yeah, he was your main producer on this one. But yeah, this features many voices from the animated series Batman. John Peters, who became iconic with their characters. So Kevin Conroy, one of them. Mark Hamill for the Joker. And I don't remember who did the voice of Alfred, but it's the same guy from the animated
series. Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.
Oh, very, very nice.
Christ.
That was
wow.
Quick on the trigger.
Well, I looked it up before.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, and a lot of these performances, like Kevin Conroy and like Mark Hamill, have been hailed as, like, some of the definitive performances of these roles.
And yeah, I will say, back in the day, before the animated series started, they were going to go with Tim Curry. And I was like, oh, my God, is the Joker? Fuck yes. I've since heard his audition or his first couple episodes. It ain't there.
Yeah.
We made the correct choice.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Tim Curry, but I would not like him as a Joker.
Yeah. No, his...
Maybe a live-action Joker, but...
Like, it really seemed like he wasn't taking it seriously and was doing a wacky, zany voice. And we're like, no. We just need Tim Curry to be the Joker. It was, yeah.
So, this film depicts Batman grappling with the Phantasm, who's a mysterious new villain who's targeting the mobsters in Gotham. Meanwhile, Bruce Wayne meets up with an old flame, Amanda Beaumont, who's voiced by Dana Delaney, who's...
Andrea Beaumont.
I knew a girl in college who went by Andrea. It's the first time I'd ever encountered that pronunciation of that name. So. Yeah. I'm going to blame this on the
Lauren. It's not Lauren, it's Lauren.
Lauren.
Like, shut up.
Exactly. Yeah. Bruce had once proposed to her, but then she disappeared and never to return, which I guess the movie depicts or implies that led one of the things that led him to become Batman.
Hey, he wasn't going to be the Batman.
Yeah. So basically it turned him to the life of, you know, I don't want to say vigilante, but like crime fighting. So
that's what vigilantism is.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a debate from their podcast. But over time, Batman's investigation leads him to the Joker, and that ultimately leads him to the search for the Phantasm's true identity, which brings him to a difficult conclusion, which is also a big twist in the plot. So
what a twist.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to hear what you guys think, Travi.
Here we go.
Jesus.
Right. Here we go.
I'm gonna
black out for 45 minutes.
Every time I see this, though, like, I'm always like, oh, this has been marked as one of the best Batman movies. And I keep watching it, and I'm like, it's okay. It's not bad. Like, I knew I wanted to watch something for Kevin Conroy's passing, just, you know, to remark on it, at least. He's an excellent, voice actor, so is Mark Hamill. They both did great in this. Shirley Walker has done all of the music for the Batman animated series. Fucking kills it. Kills it in this as well. I guess they got a few more shekels and clams stuff to do. A Batman intro and more money for, you know, to play around with more music. But this is just another, like, 3+ episodes of the series. It's good. I like that they have kind of the flashbacks for a little bit of Batman Begins. It shows other parts. Like, every Batman movie has... So, Batman the Animated Series can mine from any era of the Batman comics and adapt stuff as they see fit. They actually do a better job introducing like the character Mr. Freeze in the series than they ever did in the comics. And the comics took that lead from that, and they were like, oh, shit, they got it right. We're going to go off more of that. This was fine. Like, they have a new character, the Phantasm. They don't explain at all how she's able to do what she can do.
They were like, she can just phase through stuff. She can show up out of nowhere.
She can, you know, I mean, at least Batman, they show him throwing down a smoke bomb and they're like, all right, here he goes. And every once in a while, they'll show his Batman villains being like, okay, there's a villain named like Firefly. He just has something that can, he's an arsonist that has a suit that basically lets him resist fire, and then he shoots a little flamethrower gun. That's it. I think he has like a rocket pack or something that also, like the Rocketeer. That's it. Like, they at least explain that shit. They don't explain shit about her.
No.
But it's good. They do the same thing that they do in a shit ton of other Batman stories, which is like, oh, a character showed up. Wait, Batman knew her from his past. Hmm. And they do a flashback, and it was like, oh my God, this is why she's important. And now,
how multifaceted is his past that he knows all these people?
Well, you know, 8 years old, his parents die in front of him, and then he's like, I'm going to make a vow. And the entire rest of his life, until he's about 30-ish or 28-ish, is spent like, learning, like going to criminology. He becomes like the best detective, the best magician, the best escape,
best at judo,
the best ninja.
Yeah,
like take every single pulp hero, and he's like, I'm all of these rolled into one. I can do everything.
You kind of already missed one of them, but
which one?
The best at banging.
Yeah, the best
because,
lover.
Yeah, because apparently he was just so this episode or this movie made me Google. And it's an interesting Google. Who has Batman banged? And it was because
hasn't enlightened us.
And it was it was interesting. So they gave about 13 characters that he's banged and 3 that should have banged. But I was like, no, I don't care about that. I care about like Bruce Wayne banging as himself.
Oh,
because he got wine thrown at him. He was like, oh, hey man, you know,
Bambi.
I was like, you banged me and then you didn't. Wait, and it was like, and then it got wine in his face. Not on his jacket or anything, but it's animation.
You know.
But it was like, yeah, I loved it. But yeah, I mean,
if you're a billionaire, you can afford a waterproof.
Exactly. So apparently he's a king of banging too.
I think he banged Black Canary on top of some building somewhere where he was, you know, she was like, no, keep the mask on. He's like, well, all right. So I enjoyed this movie. I don't think it's the best episode of Batman. But you shoehorned in Joker. You got a little bit of Joker's origin. You got to see Joker before he was Joker, which was him not as like in the comics. He was like a down on his luck comedian who's and they actually. So that's part of it, right? Is Taylor was asking how long Kevin Conroy had done the voice of Batman before this. He did it all through Batman, the Animated Series, through, I think, 2 seasons of Batman Adventures. And then
he did Batman Beyond, right?
Yeah, Batman Beyond, 3 seasons. I think 2 seasons of Justice League and then 1 season of Justice League Unlimited. And then he just did a whole bunch of other of the DC animated films that would come out, which are miles above better than anything DC has made live action wise. Like Marvel can't hit it out of the park from animation. But DC is consistent. Like, not all of them are knocked out of the park, but they're so much better than anything.
Yeah, DC Marvel has pretty good animation.
Yeah, DC has great animation. But yeah, even up until, 2016, 2017, they did an adaptation of Alan Moore's The Killing Joke, and they had Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill come back for that. Even when Mark Hamill was like, I'm going to retire. I'm going to let somebody else do the Joker voice. As soon as they came back with this story, they were like, dude, we need your voice.
Well, because The Killing Joke is such a Joker-centric story.
Exactly.
Where he kills Robin.
It's like, you know what? Right? Okay, cool. And they also did all of the Arkham Asylum video games for Rockstar Games. They did Arkham.
Mark Hamill did that, or
Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy.
Okay.
Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and Arkham Knights. I think there's three, and there might be a.
Yeah, I think there's three. Anyway, I only played Arkham Asylum. It was a good game.
So, Kevin Conroy has been Batman for essentially 30 years, just about.
As long as I've been alive.
Yeah. It's a good movie. You can tell that it's a movie version of the animated ones because they get to show blood. And they get to show people dying.
Yeah.
And banging, apparently.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, they're kissing. We better pan the camera and then come back when they're in robes.
And am I wrong, or does Batman kill somebody at the beginning of the movie where there's like the guy laying under the door and he's kind of wallowing under the thing, and then Batman just kind of steps on him?
No.
He just knocks him out.
Yeah. Okay. Just knocks him out.
You think that kills somebody?
Well, you never know. It could be like, you know, hit the right spot in the, you know.
He concusses him and then doesn't follow up with his aftercare?
Maybe no, so, because unlike Zack Snyder, Bruce Timm, Paul Dini, Eric Radomski, all the guys that did this film, like... they go with the Batman like Bible playbook where it's like Batman does not kill people.
Yeah.
He just burdens guns. You with years of medical debt.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yep.
Much better.
Anyway, for me, this 7.
Yeah.
How would you rank this compared to other Batman content?
It's up there. It just doesn't have, I really would have liked the Phantasm villain to have shown back up. Yeah. I think she did some, maybe even in the comic books, but like they never show her again in any of
cartoons.
Yeah.
Never comes back into play.
Yeah, never comes back. They're just like, is this a character that was only used? Like, she didn't die. She just decided to hang it up or leave. Like, even if there had been a copycat, me like, oh, she had
a list to kill, and she killed that list, and she fucked off.
Also, she didn't kill Joker because he showed back up in the next couple seasons of Batman. So you don't know what the fuck. I mean,
is it safe to say that this makes it into the pantheon of Batman movies only because fans really love Batman the Animated Series?
Yes.
And they want to put something from Batman the Animated Series into the like overall list.
The showcase.
Yes.
Yeah. But you can't put the entire Batman the Animated Series into the list of like, oh, great Batman movies. But what you can do is like, okay, this is the best movie out of that series. Therefore, this is going to make it into the list as a representative.
No, this is 1,000% better than Batman Forever and Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Like, shut your mouth.
If you're,
That's a low bar. That's a low bar.
If you're talking about Batman theatrical releases, and that's the only reason I get to hear this list brought up all the time, it's like, oh shit, Phantasm was a theatrical release. I'm like, yes, okay, it's better than those others.
So this is somewhere between Dark Knight Rises and Batman and Robin.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly. A wide spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've read several articles where it like puts this at the top. I'm like, are you serious? And every time I see something like that and I go back and I watch it, I'm like, I mean, it's good, but I don't think it's that good. I don't think it's Dark Knight level good.
Yeah.
No.
But I will say, had it not been for Batman Forever, I might not have found this movie as a kid, because it was like, I remember for Batman Forever that when I rented it on VHS, there was the opening was a promo for Phantasm to go find it for VHS.
Ah.
So there was a trailer for Phantasm on Batman Forever.
I was going to say, this is definitely a blockbuster special.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You only watched this because it was like, oh, This is a blockbuster, and I want to see a Batman thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it was. I remember it was like near it in that section of movies. And so I was like, I want to rent that one because it's like that forever sucked. So I was like, this might be a palate cleanser.
This could be good.
And I gotta say, we didn't watch it, but it's on HBO. Batman Beyond: Return of the Joker, also a great one. Also, I don't remember if people get booty in that, but there is also blood. But all you have to know is that this is a Batman world where it's like kind of Blade Runner-esque, and then you should be good.
Batman Beyond is great.
Yeah. Well, I realized that, but since I said we should watch it, I was thinking about it from Taylor, our normie's point of view. And I was like, shit, there might be 3 or 4 things we have to tell him before he watches it. So he's not like, the fuck is going on? It's Batman in the future. And Robin is now back.
That's all I got to say.
That's all you got to say.
Yeah. I mean, the future is like, I'm going to miss a lot of shit. It's like, yeah. Batman and Roy, like, legit has wings? It's like, wait, what? Oh, yeah, they're like, he just grew into him. It's like evolution. Yeah,
and
man.
He has little rocket boots.
Yeah.
But it's very cool.
So he's Namor. It was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
So tell you, what did you think? That was an awesome sound.
Yeah, it was like, I.
Cinema Vino is brought to you by Claritin.
Yeah. I actually liked it. And the first thing I saw, I thought of after I watched it was, man, I think this film, kind of what Travis said, would be much more appreciated, and I could be wrong, now than 1993, where streaming was not a thing then. I mean, like, there was no access to that film.
Yeah.
Like, so, but nowadays, if that would have been streaming, I think it would have been, because, like, I will say, I thought the animation was pretty good.
I thought so,
for 1993, I was like, man, this is actually, I'm kind of okay with this.
Yeah.
I liked the storyline. It was kind of like, well, so am I watching, like, the ghost of Batman present, future? It was like, what is this?
Yeah.
It was like, and so the character was interesting. I did like when the Joker came in, because that was kind of like a surprise to me. I was like, oh, cool, the Joker's in this. Badass. Mm-hmm. The voice acting was good, I will say. And I didn't want to give Travis credit, but I did want to text him afterwards and be like, yeah, this is pretty good. Like, I liked it, but I don't even know how to compare it to a Batman film. But yeah. I would say this, for animation, I've only seen one, and I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
It's like, so it's up there for sure for me. There were like a couple of stupid things that I thought were hilarious. It's like, Batman discovers that it's the Joker by just drawing one little red line.
Just a little smiley like, face on the picture.
I was like, get the fuck out of here. It was like, but I was like, God damn it. So it made me laugh. But also another thing was, so it's when they're on the top of the building and it's he and the Joker, and the Joker's like kind of, which I thought was, I will say, I thought it was very kind of, it made me giggle when the Joker's like jumping around as like one of the statues, the very top. He just kind of like jumped around.
The building?
Yeah. He's like one of the buildings. He's like jumping around. I'm like,
he's the Chrysler building.
I don't know why I find that so fucking funny, but I was like, damn, it's good. But when they're up there, and I don't know if I'm asking the guys, I don't know if this is like a common thing with WB or everything like that, but there was a WB signal.
Yes.
Very common.
It is common. Okay. I knew.
A little Easter egg in there.
Yeah. And I was like, that's got to be, because it was not hidden at all. Yeah. It was like right in the middle. I'm like, duh, that's got to be a regular thing. I was like, this.
I was just reading today that HBO Max is close to a deal where they will have some of their animated films. They're going to pimp out to Amazon Prime. And I'm like, I read that, and somebody else in the comments was like, why the fuck are they taking one of their flagship characters and like giving them to another streaming service? It didn't make. I guess HBO's
they're in dire straits right now.
It's not must be
having a tough time.
2021 was not a great year for them. 2022 is not shaping up to be that good.
Yeah. Matrix Resurrections was rough.
Christ,
rough.
They still owe me 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Of my life back.
It's like, so this is only 1 hour and 15 too.
No,
these movies. Awesome. If you don't love them, then it's like, oh, okay, that was, you know, long episode of Game of Thrones, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's why I kind of liked it. It was short. It was kind of quick. There really wasn't any dull moments for me. Like, I actually liked it.
No, it's a pretty tight hour 16.
Exactly. Right? I actually liked it a lot. There were some cool things. It goes back. I think I kind of remember early on being like, oh, you know, Hamill is the Joker, whatever. It's like, yeah, great. But man, after like watching a few things here and there, like, I think I watched a behind the scenes of him doing it one time, and I'm like, damn, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's like really good.
Yeah.
And then even on this one, it's like there was a couple of Joker, you know, he was in the face of somebody, and maybe the councilman. He came out like he was like in his face talking to him. And I was like, damn, that's some good acting. Even for a voice actor, I was like, damn. I liked it a lot. I don't even know how I don't even know if I can compare it to live action. I don't even know if I could. I don't even know where to begin with that. But I'll say this, it's my top animated film. Of Batman.
Yeah.
I've only seen one. Yeah. It's like, so it's my top. But
it's your top animated Batman film?
It's my top animated Batman film because I liked it a lot. And I'll give it a 7.5, maybe even 8.
Ooh.
It's like, just as because I actually liked it a lot.
I did too.
Well, yeah. I was thinking that we could do a few more. Obviously, I think we should do Batman Beyond Return of the Joker. I think we should do The Dark Knight Returns, because they did a two-parter of that Frank Miller. Also, the Batman Year One, and I think The Killing Joke is the only other one I can think of right now. So we might do more of these DC movie things in the future. Yeah. Standalones, not any of the Justice League where you need to watch like four or five.
Yeah. So you say eight? Seven and a half, eight?
I say seven and a half. Seven and a half. And there were some funny parts too, where I was like, "Oh, come on, this didn't need to be in there." It's like, why did everybody have the most outright at the very beginning? It's like, hey, these outrageous names. It's like Cosley, and it was like Billingsworth, and I was like, I was just like, why are all these people have these outrageous names?
It's like just an outrageous like Italian mobster name.
Like, what's going on here?
Like their characters on like Fran Drescher's The Nanny.
Yeah,
yes. Mr. Like, Billingsley.
Yes.
Well, when they're like, chasing what? Batman and the cops are after him, the one cop is shooting him from a helicopter and is shooting through the propeller blades.
Yeah.
At one point, I was like, well, that's fucking stupid. I was like, Travis, it's a cartoon.
Yeah, it's a cartoon. I know. Batman,
I'm going to shoot through the propeller blades to hit Batman.
Mm-hmm. But it was good. And so, once again, Travis, you've chosen a good film.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Sean?
No, I mean, I love this. I've seen this a million times. Batman the Animated Series was my definitive Batman growing up. And therefore, this movie was like in heavy rotation. Like you said, it's like a blockbuster movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's one where you like go and you want to like, you're sorting by, it's alphabetical, right? So you see all the B's and you're like, oh, Batman. Oh, Batman and Robin. Ugh. Oh, Batman Mask of the Phantasm. Yeah, I'll get this. So I watched this a bunch of times as a kid.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill is the definitive Joker in my mind. He is the voice of the Joker. He does such a good job of like balancing the sinister and the laugh, like at the same time, like not in like a creepy, like clown way, but like in a, you can tell that this guy's like mentally deranged and he's smiling the whole time, but he's also like really angry. And they do a really good job in the animation of like him, just the big smile on the animation, just the way they do it is makes him such a more like insidious Joker. That Mark Hamill's voice really comes through really, really well. So, he's always been in my mind, like he is the Joker. So his voice along with, Conroy's voice is like just they're a matched pair. So now that he's gone, RIP, it's going to be weird if Mark Hamill keeps doing any sort of VO stuff.
I doubt he'll do it. Like he wanted to retire.
Yeah. That. Yeah.
But also in this, you get to see Joker straight up kill, like, you know, with Joker toxin, that one old guy, Wheeze, or whatever.
Yeah.
Because they would allude to that in the show, but imagine having, like, the crazy-ass dentist bullshit where you, like, literally die laughing. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
The other guy, Arthur, that
councilman?
Andrea Dates, that voice, I don't know if you recognize that voice, but that's Ellis from Die Hard.
No shit.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. What?
Yep.
Damn.
Yep.
Huh.
So his career,
I recognized
his career slowed down.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, well, facial
slowed
career.
Down. I was going to say this was like three years after Die Hard.
Yeah.
But watch that. I was like, I recognize that voice. I thought, is that the guy from Die Hard? And I looked it up. I was like, that's him.
Voice acting is one of those things that's so much more frustrating than just like regular acting where you see a face and you're like, I know that guy. Mm-hmm. When you hear a voice and you're like, where do I know that voice?
Where is that?
Yeah.
Well, and I'll say one of my favorite scenes in this movie wasn't even a voice. It was like when they were again on top of the building, and it was like, you know, Batman Joker's final battle, and he was looking for Joker, and it was like they had this scene where they just zoomed in. Again, this is animation, but it was like Joker kind of in one of the buildings and had this big grin on his face. There was no words or anything, and they just zoomed in. I'm like, fuck. And I was like, that was like that whole scene was better than fucking Batman and Robin and Batman Forever. Just that one. It was like in like it made me think. It kind of goes back to Toy Story, where like when you watch Toy Story and you hear the voices, you're like, damn, I can see Tom Hanks in this. I can see Tim Allen in this. I can see their faces in these characters. That's how I felt about Mark Hamill in that. It was like he wasn't even speaking, but he just had that smile. And I'm like, yeah, I see Luke in there. And I was like, yeah, I can see Skywalker. And I was like, yeah, I can see him like smiling.
Creepy,
you know,
Skywalker.
Yeah.
Did you pick up on the same thing that I did after watching this so close to watching Lethal Weapon of Batman running to catch up to a moving car?
Oh,
Like a car is driving away and Batman's like, all right, I guess I'm going to sprint after it.
Yeah.
Here we go running. Yeah. I'm like, wait, is he Mel Gibson?
Yeah.
The same exact thing. What is it? I don't know if cars in that time period just could not accelerate to where you could just straight up sprint after a car. But nowadays with our Teslas, I mean, those things are shooting Travis. Off the line. Mm-hmm. Siri.
Yeah.
Travis, what the hell? Wait, I was listening to you, Sean.
Oh.
why does she listen to you?
Oh, I think Elon is listening to us now.
Mm-hmm. Now, I go. Elon and Apple, they don't get along.
The Elon Musk of the Phantasm.
Yeah, it's like,
I think the bigger question is, why do I listen to Sean and do everything he tells me?
It's a weird compulsion. I think,
you know, I've been, those recordings at night, just keeping you mentally tuned in.
Mm-hmm. Spit in my mouth.
But yeah, I mean, watching this next to Lethal Weapon of like people just running after cars, I'm like, why is Batman just, how fast is he?
I didn't know he was a master of karate.
And friendship.
And friendship
for everyone. And everyone.
Jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Batman.
I didn't know.
Uh-huh.
Or judo.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Him just practicing karate in his front yard.
Just hogging out.
Yeah.
Just hogging out in a gi.
Like, whoops. Yeah. It was like, and it came undone.
Andrea saw those gray sweatpants.
Andrea comes up and is just like, oh, what are you doing?
And then Alfred keeps like walking in. He's like,
Alfred, he just has the perfect just, oh.
He's like,
every time.
Master Bruce raw dogging again.
Yeah. Just walking in with lemonade, just, oh.
Oh,
oh!
Well, what's multiple, the lemonade?
Multiple times he will walk in with just like a pitcher of something and two cups.
But you know, as soon as he sees that, he was like, they're going to need some protein and make some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for afterwards. Little slices of banana in there, little drizzle of honey.
You know, Alfred is like, he's got it covered.
Mm-hmm.
So 1 to 10, what would you give it?
I'll give this a 7. You know, it is... You know, it's short, it's kind of cheap, it's animated.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good story. It's well animated. The quality is always good. I mean, it is sort of like the pinnacle of the Batman the Animated Series.
Wasn't a waste of time watching.
No absolutely. I'll 100% watch it again.
Yeah.
This is not my last watch. Mask
of that the is also a great rating right there. It's like, was it a waste of time?
Yeah.
And I was like, I can say no, it wasn't.
No.
And no movie, you know, Lethal Weapon was not a waste of time.
Am I going to go out of my way to like recommend it to other people?
Eh,
it depends. No.
Depends on the person.
It depends on the context. Yeah. Like, you got to be going out of your way. Like, we're doing this as, like, an appreciation of the voice actor.
Yeah. Right.
And this is not even, like, the pinnacle of his voice acting, but it's, like, this is a great example of the work that he's done. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
7. Waffle, what'd you think?
But, yeah, I mean, this has heavy, like, Lethal Weapon, heavy nostalgia vibes. Because it's, like, I remember, like, watching this after Batman Forever. I didn't see it. Before Batman Forever, I saw it afterwards. Rented after I watched. I remember we got this new TV, and so at the house in Manford with my parents, it's like
flat screen.
This predates. This is old school. It was a big TV, but it was like old school, big, heavy, like massive.
I saw something the other day. It was like, I don't know if people know this, but at one point in time in the past, you could set things on top of your TV.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh,
you what?
You could set a Buick on this thing. It was so heavy, massive.
Yeah.
Or required a doily.
Hundreds of pounds of the TV, but I wanted to get like a really great movie to watch for the first movie in Batman Forever. Was a movie I picked to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Very disappointing in that experience, but then not long after that, I did Mask of the Phantasm, and so that compared to that, it was a huge like upgrade. I'd probably only seen about maybe a third of the animated series. I didn't really watch a whole lot of it, but I really enjoyed that.
It's a lot of episodes.
Yeah. It looked great compared to Batman Forever. It benefited from that. But it was like, you know, now looking back on it, it has a nostalgia factor to it. Great voice acting, like you say. You know, I mean, it's like Mark Hamill's a terrific Joker.
And the music is the tits.
Yeah.
Like each episode has its own, like, orchestral and you know the multiple episodes they would carry on from there, so the soundtrack is dope too.
It's like as close as you can get to Danny Elfman without actually having Danny Elfman.
Yeah, well, Danny Elfman did the theme song. Then after that, they just you know emulated kind of his style.
Yeah, which is good for him. That's how he was with The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just write the theme, step back, and just can't cash those checks.
Yeah,
probably an 8 for me. I'd give it an 8.
Nice.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I enjoyed it back then a lot. So
yeah,
this definitely. I've always liked it, so every time.
How old were you when this came out? You would have been 13?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Ish?
Yeah, I'm in middle school, yeah.
All right, before we wrap up, I have a question for you guys. Like top three favorite Batman, top three favorite Jokers, like, and including, I'll go ahead and go first. For me, Kevin Conroy is Batman. Like, I hear his voice when I'm reading the comic. He's number one. Michael Keaton for me is number two. And I'll go Christian Bale is probably number three. He's a better Bruce Wayne than he is a Batman. But out of all of them I can think of, I like the idea of Batfleck better than the execution of Batfleck. Well, and then for me, Joker.
Affleck's my number one. No. So
for me, Joker, it's Mark Hamill, and then it will be Jack Nicholson, just because he's more he's closer to the comic book Joker, and then Heath Ledger, just because he made it his own and it was a more real world Joker. I thought it was great, but it still wasn't. You know, it was his interpretation of a comic book character, and it was great. But that's how my list goes.
I think I'm going to have to X-nay all the animation because I just didn't know a lot of it. But right. I will say I love them both. It was like, I mean, Mark Hamill. I mean, I knew Mark Hamill more of the Joker than I did Conroy, right? Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. So I didn't know much of him. But for me, my Batmans and my Jokers are going to be live action.
Yeah.
But I would definitely say Keaton is number one. And then number two is going to be Bale. And then number three is going to be Clooney. I don't give a fuck. It's like better than because, like, honestly,
he looked like Batman. He had the chin.
Better than Val Kilmer.
It's like, oh, I hated Val, but
I was not a Kilmer fan,
and I just could not get behind Affleck. And like, and again, I didn't like any of those movies.
Yeah,
I just didn't like it. I mean, that might hurt, but Joker, it's gonna be kind of weird. Obviously, it's Jack. It was like, and then it's gonna be. Rest in peace, dude. You already said
Heath Ledger.
Ledger, Travis, Elon is listening, and then honestly, Joaquin. I know it's kind of a weird, and it's not like the Joker, but like I would probably replace Joaquin with Mark Hamill if you know. But for me, not knowing all of those, which I mean, Hamill killed it for my live action. I'm gonna say Joaquin.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm gonna go. Conroy for sure. Number one. Keaton number two, Bale number three, and then for Joker, Hamill, Heath, and Joaquin Phoenix.
Nice, interesting. I'll go Keaton, Conroy, and I just blanked out. Bale. Yeah. Adam West.
Adam West is a good choice, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. underrated. Damn, Batman.
I didn't think about that.
The Batusi.
Yeah.
Doing the Batusi.
Pure West. But I would go Joker wise. Man, that's tough. Jack.
See, Jack's my number one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like,
I'm going to go Jack.
Your number one guy.
My number one guy.
I'll go Jack. I'll go Mark Hamill and then Heath Ledger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Top three. Jared Leto's a distant 10th.
Oh, God. I honestly kind of forgot about him. I don't mean that rudely. It was like, I just meant like, I didn't even think about him. I wouldn't even consider him a Joker character.
No.
To me. So.
No.
He's barely a Joker character in the
I'm just going to hurt you real.
Yeah.
Bad.
Ha!
It's almost Pee Wee Herman-ish.
I just didn't like him with the grill and all the tats. I'm like, what is,
yeah,
you know. Ledger made it his own, but like Leto tried to do the same, and I was like, ooh.
No.
It's, I mean, that might have been David Ayer as well, but
whoever followed Heath Ledger was going to have a hard time.
Yeah.
So we knew it was going to be a throwaway.
I you know, dunking on him, he is a good actor. I've seen him in other things, maybe not Morbius.
I think Joaquin Phoenix following that actor up is like that. That's the Joker we needed after Leto.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, we knew Leto was going to be a throwaway because he was the one that followed Heath.
I'll still watch Suicide Squad, like director's cut, if they ever, you know, drop it.
The Snyder cut?
The Ayer cut.
Release the Snyder cut.
Release.
If I'm really drunk, I might do that. If I'm like too drunk to know what I'm watching,
you'll do a 4-hour Snyder cut?
Yeah.
I'm Ayer cut of Suicide Squad, not Snyder. Fuck Snyder.
But yeah, this has been another episode of Cinemavino.
God,
congrats.
Sure, we thank you guys. God,
it really has today.
It has been. But we thank you guys very much. Tune in next. We'll do a special breakdown of Andor. So, for our Patreon customers. So,
Andor.
Thank you guys very much. Great movies, only drunker. And lots of whimpers.
Well,
see you guys next time.
Peace. Meow.
Be sure to listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our website is cinemavino.net, and reviews of these films can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com.